Thanks, Greg. Yes, we are here with Alexander Taradze, also known as Lexo. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Hi, Susan. Thank you very much.
That was a beautiful performance of Ravel's Piano Concerto.
Oh, very nice of you. Thank you so much. It's such an unbelievable piece, really.
So much joy and jazz.
Sure.
It's so interesting because it gives insight not only into Ravel, but to the times and the cross-pollination of cultures.
Very, very much so. Very much so. I mean, it's unmistakably French music, obviously, Ravel. But it has, as you noted, lots of jazz, but also quite a bit of, you know, Far East Orientalism, which French musicians as well as artists, painters, and the French culture was pretty much overtaken. During the Paris World Fair exhibition, there was this Java exhibition, and the music which they heard there. That's why in Debussy and Satie and Ravel, we have lots of this taste of Orientalism, so to speak. In Ravel, you can hear it all over the places.
Really. So, for example, in this piece?
Yeah, in this piece, you have in third movement a couple of times just sheer pentatonic music, maybe transported a bit. But that's what it is. And also atmosphere. You know, atmosphere, it's extremely jazzy, as we know. Even George Gershwin went to Ravel to take lessons, but it didn't work out because Ravel asked him, well, George, how much money you make in the United States? And George named some figure, probably with lots of zeros. And Ravel said, it's me who should study with you, not vice versa. Because obviously Ravel was poor composer. That's happened via Nadia Boulanger. George went first to Nadia Boulanger, and Nadia called Maurice and said, hey, I have this American dude here. And anyway, jazz was quintessential, and you can hear it in every Ravel's pieces, even the early ones.
When we talk about jazz, are we talking about colors, rhythm, improvisation?
I think it's mainly, yes, it's mainly rhythmic and harmonic texture of the piece. You know, by the way, and also very, very telling approach to the form of concerto, which is actually the concerto for orchestra with obbligato piano, let's say. I mean, we have so many unbelievable, difficult, telling, colorful, great solos in this short, really, about 20 minutes piano concerto. You have 10, 12 major solos. I mean, when we have piano concertos with great solos, Brahms is very telling, and many, many others are telling, but not in such an extent when they are actually overtaking the whole thing and play for. Obviously, I'm not talking only about English horn in a second moment, but from the very beginning, I mean, we have piccolo solo. I mean, and even frusta, this clapsy.
<Yes. laughs>
You know, you can call it. So for me, it's really concerto for orchestra with obbligato piano or solo piano, something like that. I mean, when you have such a magnificent orchestra as Philadelphia Orchestra playing this piece with all these solos, and they are all one better than another, one all gorgeous, then it really sounds, you know, just chillingly great. And you can't find any other musical idiom, musical activity except jazz, where you have that many soloists come, shine, go away, coming back, and this. It's philosophy is jazz in that regard.
Was your idea of what Ravel was telling us, what he was communicating, has that changed over the years?
Not really, except I more and more realize Ravel talks to you from his very sensual, very, very personal feelings, and it's a conversation with probably one human being.
He takes you on this journey of emotions.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does. You know, that's why it's really a phenomenal showpiece for the orchestra, more so than for pianist. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm not undermining the role of piano in this concerto, but really, I mean, this concerto requires fantastic flute players, piccolo as well as big flute, phenomenal trumpet. If you are lucky, fantastic harp player, and we are lucky very much, she's gorgeous. Very, very capable English horn. Very capable French horn. It's also very high F, which is nightmare to take. Bassoons should be virtuosos, especially the tempos which I give them in third movement is nightmare. Really, this one is just, you know, I know the thing. So you have so many, I hope I didn't forget them, I probably did, but the thing is that one after another, you have personalities coming in and contributing to overall experience of this concerto.
Last question. Is it possible to describe in words what music means to you?
You can't really talk about it, except to say that once I'm thinking even remotely about music, who comes first to my vision and mind is the people who gave me their understanding of what we are doing. And that unquestionably started with my father, who's wonderful classical and jazz music composer, and then my teachers right away. So each of my teachers comes right there, their faces, their talk, the way they talk, what they were telling me about this or that. So basically it comes down to human beings who told me what we are doing together. Apparently we are doing music. And that's all I can tell you about it. Otherwise, everything I say would be extraordinarily banal, very unconvincing.
Thank you so much, Lexo Taratse.
Thank you, Susan, very much.